Good morning. Got your Bibles with you? I would encourage you to open to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at several verses there in this message that I have entitled Windows of Heaven. It's in this series of mine, Learning from the Classics, which are favorite Old Testament passages, which certainly they're my favorite Old Testament passages. And I hope that they're yours or will become yours as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." That verse expresses the law of the harvest regarding financial giving for believers in the body of Christ, in the local church. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, places a principle there that's important for us. It reads, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase." Well, let me ask you a question. Could we even consider giving God less than our best, our first fruits? The best is for God, not the leftovers. Beginning over 400 years before Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, the tithe has been a present reminder for his people that God is the owner of all things. Tithe, the word, the very word tithe, it speaks to the basic quantity of giving to the Lord's ministry. First fruits refers to the quality of gifts. If you haven't already, turn to Malachi chapter 3 and notice with me four revelations in the life of a believer related to tithing, applying them to giving in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Giving helps answer some of life's important questions, and we will look at those. First of all, giving reveals a proper view of God. There in Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 8, and then look at verse 10. Verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." And then verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." The tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus, way back in Leviticus, tells us that that first part, that first tenth, that tithe, that it belongs to the Lord. The tithe of everything, the first part, belongs to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." Scripture is clear that God owns everything in heaven and on earth. He allows us, what a deal. He allows us to manage 90% and to continue to manage 90%. But he lets us know that 10% of all that we manage for him is holy to the Lord. So he gives us 100% of a stewardship, and then he asks for a tenth of it to come back to him as a tithe for his purposes in his work. And then he continues to allow us to manage the other 90%. Not bringing the tithe to your church for ministry really is a failure to understand the principle of giving. Because you see, the tithe teaches reverence. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces, year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. So the tithe teaches us to reverence the Lord. It reminds us of that it all belongs to him, that we're managing it for him. So giving back the tithe is a continual reminder that it's all his, that we're doing it for his purposes. So the tithe teaches reverence, that, and the tithe reminds us that God is the provider. We didn't just generate all this ourselves. He's the one that is the provider. He's the provider of all things. And so it places him as top priority. Not giving reveals he's not important to us, that God is not important to us. So how can I know God's will? There's a question for us. How can I know God's will? Well, most Christians want to do God's will. If you're struggling to know and do the will of God, begin where it's clear. In God's Word, begin where it's clear to do His will. Giving at least a tithe is God's plan for you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Godfrey Davis's biography of the Duke of Wellington, who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo in 1815, it reads in his biography, Godfrey Davis says, "I found an old account ledger that showed how the Duke spent his money. It was a better clue of what he thought was really important than the reading of his letters or his speeches." The question for you and for me is, if a biography were written about us, what would be learned? If a biography was written about you, what would be learned about what is important to you from studying your bank accounts? Second, giving reveals a conversion experience. Again, Malachi called God's people to repent. Listen to the dialogue of verses 7 to 9 of Malachi chapter 3. "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Listen, when it comes to giving, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to offerings to the Lord's work, we are doing God no favor. He doesn't need our money. He wants to free us to serve Him. Verse 10 tells us to bring our gift to the church. And then pay attention to verse 11. Listen, if you struggle financially, pay attention to verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Again, go back with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. Look at a couple of verses there in this regard. Exodus 13, verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons shall you redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Giving symbolizes redemption. It's a clear reminder of the salvation of the Lord. Giving provides an opportunity to teach our children about salvation in Jesus Christ. God gave His best for us. We should give our best for Him. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So giving symbolizes redemption. Giving also recognizes our debt. Christians owe all to the Lord, and it's unpayable. We don't bring our gifts to the church as payments on the debt. We bring our gift as a reminder of how great it is. So, giving symbolizes redemption, giving recognizes our debt, and giving proclaims the gospel. When believers give to the church's ministry, it becomes testimony to the world that God provides for His own. We trust Him to meet our needs. Verse 12, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So, how can I have joy in my life? Well, let me tell you something. Generous givers experience the joy of God's care. Giving promises protection as well as blessing. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. As verse 12 states, giving should be a joyful experience which brings blessing of great joy. Let me ask you, how much blessing do you want from God? That's where the answer is. And then third, giving reveals trust in God. Look at verses 10 and 11, again, of Malachi chapter 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, giving reveals faith in the power and promise of God. It says we trust Him. It says we trust Him to make the rest meet our needs. We give that first part and we trust God with the rest to meet our needs. Or that He will provide for it in some other way. So giving reveals faith in the power and promise of God. Giving also confirms God's word. We're warned against testing God. We're warned in Scripture about testing God, except in this one area of faith. It's like He knows that we will be skeptical when He tells us to bring the tithe. And receive the benefit of the promise that He will bless us. He knows we'll be skeptical. But you know, the Lord has never failed to keep His promises. He blesses those who trust Him. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to give up that portion and trust Him to meet the needs with the rest, provide in some other way, and at some point, in some way, pour out a blessing on you. It's faith. You've got to trust Him. And it confirms His word, His promises. Also, God assures blessings. Look at that verse 11 again. We can't read this too many times. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. But what about when we don't honor the Lord with the first fruits of all our increase? When we don't bring our gifts into the house? Well, the prophet Haggai says something about that in chapter 1 and verse 6. Haggai 1:6, you have sown much. You've been blessed. You've produced a lot. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Listen, God protects the goods of faithful givers. He assures blessings and He protects things. So, how can I have a stronger faith? Spiritual disciplines are strengthened by exercise, just like physical muscles. God knows what He's doing when He gives a command. Faith is built on trust. And there's no trust if there's no risk involved. He says, try me now in this. Bring that tithe. Even if you feel you don't have it, even if you feel it isn't, you don't have enough, you got more month at the end of your paycheck. Bring the tithe in anyway. Try me now in this. Test the Lord. He tells you to test Him in this regard. It takes faith to give that first tenth of all your increase, of all your income. But God promised to respond. Open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I don't know how and exactly how the way that works. But it's God's promise. And He says to try Him in that, test Him in that. And then fourth, giving reveals commitment to ministry. Again, one more time, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows, open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Giving finances the church's ministry. From the tabernacle in the wilderness, to the temple in Jerusalem, to the church of Jesus Christ. God has not changed. The primary purpose of the tithe was to support ministry. Jesus could have declared the tithe invalid in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, but He didn't. Instead, He referred to it as a responsibility. Listen, my own personal experience these 40 years walking with the Lord, I have given faithfully from the first day that I became a Christian to this day, today, 40 years later. I've given faithfully and I've given regularly all these years, and God has never failed to provide for my family. Never once. There's been some tight moments where we wondered when and how He was going to do it, but He's always provided. He's never failed. He's always fulfilled His promise. And I've been blessed in ways that seem like He opened up the windows of heaven. How can I have a thriving church and ministry? Listen, most Christians want their church to thrive. I want our church to thrive. Do you want our church to thrive? When people in a church give, the church has more resources available for expenses and to expand the work. The church thrives, and it's exciting. That there may be food in my house. You see, when you look at that principle in its context, the Old Testament priests, they lived by the tithes, the offerings that were brought to the temple, to the tabernacle. That's how they lived. That's how they did the ministry. The offerings were brought, the tithes were brought, the gifts were brought, and the priests received them, and they did the ministry of the temple. They did the ministry of the tabernacle before that. With Jesus and the New Testament, all believers, all Christians are priests. We're all doing the ministry of the Lord, spreading the gospel, working for the kingdom, to expand the kingdom. Let me give you one closing thought for those that like to argue that the tithe is Old Testament legalism. Well, okay, they may have a point. Even though it was begun 400 years before the law was given, it was codified in the law, and it was applied throughout the history of Israel. But let me tell you something. If the tithe is legalism, then grace is something beyond the tithe. Listen, until our giving exceeds the tenth of all our financial increase, we've done no more than return to God what is right, what rightfully belongs to Him. The grace of the New Testament in Christ exceeds the law. Every example of it. If you're sued for your shirt, give your coat also. If you're called to walk a mile, walk two. If you're hit on one side of the face, offer the other side as well. The law is, we like to think of it as legalism, but grace goes beyond the law. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 21 reads, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we give as a response of love to what God in His love did for us in Christ. And where our treasure goes, our heart will also be there as well. And where your heart is, there will also be your treasure. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant Malachi and the message that he brought, and that you call us to bring the first part of all of our increase to the ministry house before the temple today, the church of Jesus Christ, as we serve the Lord in the new covenant. You call us to bring the first fruits for your ministry purposes, that as your priests, that we might be equipped, that we might be free to serve you in ministry with resource. And Father, I pray that you would bring conviction to each one of us, each one listening to or watching this message, that you would bring conviction, and with it that you would give the grace that we would be able to act upon it in obedience. And Father, we just thank you and put it all before you for your glory, for your purposes, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.